Well, hear now this reading from God's written word. We're going to read the entire fourth chapter of Amos chapter 4, focusing on verses 6, 7, 8, and 12. May God bless your hearing of it even before I try and open it up to your blessing. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fishhooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. And ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, and at Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the peace whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the man of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. May God enable us to hear the truth of his word today. You may be seated. In light of the three verses that I have reached in Amos chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, referring as well to verse 12, to bring out the powerful, dare I say, awesome meaning and application for verses 6 to 8 in this climate-addicted but misinformed world. For if unknown to you, I had put a weather app on your phone that recorded every time you heard or read about climate change last week, what total would that phone app reveal? But even now, the propagandists want the term climate change changed to climate collapse to make it sound more foreboding. I am sure more than once since we last met, it would not surprise me. In fact, the opposite would surprise me if you heard climate change spoken of the way Amos speaks of climate change. And I intend to address the subject of climate change in this message. But I'm sure you won't hear what I'm going to preach in any of the people talking about climate change today. Because friends, there is an awesome and important application in these verses to you and to everyone presently living in this climate-affected world, regardless of who they are, a fact I will return to later. Because I had intended to look at more than just verses 6 to 8 and 12, but upon further study, I realized two things. The first is for me to have covered verses 6 to 12 like I had originally thought I was going to would have resulted in me not adequately dealing with verses 6 to 8 or verses 9 to 11, verses that upon further consideration could easily be looked at separately. But a second reason that reinforces the conviction that I would have inadequately dealt with all these verses if taken as a whole, not because it's not possible to do this, but when I saw how powerfully and how clearly verses 6 to 8 joined with verse 12 speak to what is possibly the most talked about subject, not only in America, friends, but in the entire world today, climate change or climate collapse. We've got to be contemporary, man, don't we? We've got to be keep up with the times. Climate change and all the propaganda associated with this regularly heard term. Because I don't think it should be hard for you to see that Amos records the negative climate changes that the Lord brought upon Israel because of their religious idolatry and rejection of the living, true, and only God by their idolatry. A fact mirrored in pagan America today in too many ways for me to list in this one message. For how many in the world, how many in pagan America, or in the many edifices calling themselves churches where idolatry is engaged in and not biblical worship by those gathered in them, want to hear? Want to hear what the Lord is declaring through Amos about the negative climate change he sovereignly brings into every nation on the earth, including the United States of America? For a dangerous, foolish, and woefully incorrect reason for the many not wanting to hear what the Lord says through Amos about this ubiquitous, ever-present subject or reality is the lie spawned by the devil himself. What devil spawned lie? The lie that the Bible does not have anything to say to 21st century man, especially in pagan America. For how many, even in the numerous PWCs, pagan worship centers, misnamed as Christian churches, honestly want to hear the clear biblical answer that the Lord gives for the reason for this ubiquitous reality, climate change, that continues to be talked about incorrectly, since the biblical reason for it is never mentioned in the verbal diarrhea that has been spewing from the mouths of numerous politicians who are seeking to use ubiquitous climate change for the deceptive ends. And how many of them would consider the biblical reason for climate change that I'm going to give you because of what the Lord declares through Amos in the verses I have reached as evidence that I should be sent to a re-indoctrination center to bring my thinking more in line with their propaganda? But the dislike of the reason that the Lord gives her is negative climate change cannot change this reason. It cannot change this reason into error. But it does reveal the true depravity of the minds of the non-believers who labor not to face the reason for God's negative climate change. By the ridicule and rejection that they will direct toward it when I declare what it is. But brethren, in how many edifices in America today, calling themselves churches, are there those who do not want to face the crystal clear clarity of what the Lord is declaring through Amos with respect to climate change. My hope that no one who is hearing me are in this incorrect and sinful condition. But if such is the case, may the Lord of amazing grace and mercy give you wisdom to repent of it before I have finished this one message, rather than dishonor the Lord and His word. Now, lest the devil uses my introduction to distract you from what I am about to say because of its length, hopefully I will extinguish this arrow and perk up your ears by giving you the title I have already chosen for this message, because I often struggle with finding a title for a message I have given after I have given it. But I did not have any problem with choosing the title for this message. But in light of the importance of the truth answered by my title, and answer clearly given by the Lord through His prophet Amos, I need to expose two dangerous and very wrong reactions to the truth of my title by those who are not facing the reason for this ubiquitous reality and what it should be telling them and reminding everyone who experiences it. And friends, everyone experiences climate change. Everyone is experiencing it and will continue to experience it in varying ways and to varying degrees in this fallen, sin-cursed world. Friends, we're going to experience climate change in a dramatic way, apparently, later today, aren't we? So what is my title? Well, bear with me as I am only going to begin by giving you half of it. The biblical reason for climate change. The biblical reason for climate change. Notice I did not say the scientific reasons, plural, for climate change. Notice I said scientific reasons, plural, for how many different reasons? Incapable of actual scientific verification are given for climate change today. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. Because friends, fallible science will never give you or be able to give you this infallible answer. I would even say that the majority of false evolutionary science labors to suppress it and ridicule it. But all the ridicule and all the suppression of the biblical reason for climate change cannot change the reason for it. But it does mean that the unbeliever is unprepared for the reason for climate change. Because what does the Lord declare through Amos in verses 6 to 8? That He is sovereign over climate change. Amen. That He is sovereign over climate change is recorded by Amos. He is sovereign over negative climate change, resulting in the negative consequences for idolatrous religion-making Israel. Verse 6, 7, and 8. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the other piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now I hope you have seen that the Lord through Amos has not given you the reason for the negative climate changes He brings in His sovereignty as recorded in these verses. The reason for these negative climate changes I will give in a moment. But before I do, do not fail to notice something very important, something you are foolish to ignore, foolish to ridicule, foolish to downplay. The living God, the true God, the only God there is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealed and declared in God's written word and preeminently in the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The living God of the Holy Bible is not ashamed. Did you hear me? I repeat myself. He is not ashamed to declare that he is the one who is sovereign over both positive and negative climate changes. Verse 7 again, and also I. Who's the I, friends? Who's the I? The Lord God, the living God, the true God, the only God, the Lord God who raised up Amos to speak this truth to Israel and to the world. Since this declaration from the living God is in his unique written word, the Holy Bible. But how many want to hear this? How many want to hear and believe this declaration by the Lord and the reason for it? And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece wherein it rained not withered. So the Lord God, the living God, the true and only God of the Scriptures is clearly, friends, not ashamed. He's not ashamed to declare he is sovereign over the weather. He's sovereign over the climate, including negative climate changes, resulting in droughts and famines due to the withholding of his rain that results in men suffering. So one answer that you could correctly give to my half of title, the biblical reason for climate change, is God. God is the reason for climate change, friends, all of it. But friends, verse 12 of Amos 4 gives you the reason that God changes the climate, even and especially in the negative and destructive ways that he does. What is the reason God changes his climate in the numerous negative ways that he has and continues to do? God gives you the answer in verse 12. Now, negative climate change is not the only thing God gives for verse 12. There are other things in verses 9 to 11 that require their separate consideration. But verse 12 gives you the biblical reason for climate change. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Climate change, especially negative climate change, is God's ongoing declaration and warning to this idolatrous world that you're going to meet him. Full title, the biblical reason for climate change, you are going to meet God. But before expanding on the biblical reason for climate change, I need, as I said, to expose two dangerous and wrong reactions to the truth of my title by those who are not facing the reason for this ubiquitous reality and what it should be telling and reminding everyone who experiences it. And friends, every one of us experiences negative climate change. The first is this. It's an error committed by non-believers. And the second, by either deceived professing believers or true confessing believers. The difference between a deceived professor and a true confessing believer in Christ is the response given to having this grievous error exposed in light of the biblical reason for climate change. You are going to meet God. How every non-believer should face their supreme folly of laboring to ridicule and reject the truth that the living God, the true God of the Scriptures, is sovereign over climate change, including negative climate change, that every non-believer has no problem arguing over, even incessantly complaining about. For what non-believer has never grumbled that the weather was not to their liking? How much grumbling and complaining by non-believers will be raised to heaven because of the storm that the Lord is bringing to Mass and New Hampshire over the next 2 days? Showing that they're dead to the reason God is bringing it. For is complaining about the weather a wise thing when the Lord could use his weather to take that grumbler into his holy presence unprepared to meet him? Because what will all the ridiculing and rejecting of the biblical reason for climate change not prevent? It will not prevent the non-believer meeting the living, true, and only God unprepared. clothed in his sin-stained thoughts, words, and deeds, and not the righteousness of Christ alone, received by God's gift of saving faith alone. Oh, believer, are you praying that the Lord would have mercy on all those who talk about negative climate change but don't want to hear the biblical reason for why there are negative climate events? They are warnings from the Lord God that you're going to meet him. It would not be hard for him to take you into his holy presence by using his climate changes to take you out of this world into his holy presence unprepared. Oh, believer, pray for the scientifically blinded non-believers who think that science can give them the reason for climate change. Even as the majority of scientists ridicule and reject the biblical and therefore true reason for it, God. And when I use the word God, I'm referring to the only one this word should be used to refer to, the living, true, and only God of the Bible, not the idols that unbelieving men like to invoke in their idolatry when storms strike, like Mother Nature, to prevent facing the truth that the God of the Bible, the God of the Scriptures, is the God who is sovereign over the weather, and he is saying something, friends, through his weather. Prepare to meet me. Because what does the psalmist call to praise the Lord in Psalm 148, verses 7 and 8? Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Why should hail, snow, vapor, and stormy winds praise the Lord? Because, friends, the Lord is not just a weatherman. He is the weather maker, and he is the weather sustainer. The exact location, the exact type, the exact intensity, the exact duration of every hailstorm or every snowstorm or every hurricane or every tornado is under his sovereign command. This far and no farther. This time frame and no longer. This strength and no stronger. Yet when was the last time you heard this truth on any pagan weather station in non-Christian America? Oh, they'll tell you we're going to get, well, maybe a foot of snow. But how many will say, it's the Lord who's giving us that foot of snow? It's going to last until Tuesday. How many will say, the Lord will end his storm on Tuesday, according to our predictions? But he could extend it longer if he wished to. Will you hear that between now and Tuesday? Friends, don't call this country a Christian country. Because I wouldn't doubt in the least if there was a meteorologist who got up this afternoon and said the Lord is bringing his snow and his wind, that he wouldn't be long on that television station. Oh, friends, not only the pagan airwaves in America, but how many of the ear tickling health, wealth, and anti-gospel temporary prosperity preachers would never declare what the Lord is declaring through Amos. Which leads me to the second grievous error I must address, one committed by professing believers, or true confessing believers, the difference being in how they address this grievous error. What grievous error? The dishonor done to the Lord by professing believers, and sadly confessing believers who actually have difficulty with the truth that the Lord is sovereign over all the weather, and refuse to openly confess it and acknowledge it to others and to themselves. Friends, God is the reason for climate change, including all the negative climate change that results in the loss of life, that results in the loss of property, or results in the loss of both. And as I said, he's not ashamed to repeatedly declare that he is. Yet be honest with me. How many professing believers would never declare this truth as God's prophet does? How many would never acknowledge this? Oh, there are some things we can't understand. There's some things we can't explain, especially negative weather events. The scientists are telling it's this, or scientists are telling us it's that. Oh, you know what? I can explain them. And if you believe your Bible, which I hope you do, you can explain them too. The God of the Scriptures brings every one of them. And He is not ashamed to reveal it and repeatedly declare it and give you a reason for them. They are reminders that you are going to meet God and how easily He could cause you to meet Him through one of His storms. Friends, I have said many times that before I can preach a message to you, I have to preach it to myself. How woefully ignorant I have been as to why God gives all the negative climate change that He has given, is giving, and is going to continue to give until the greatest climate change event of all, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how many, or rather how few, use climate change, especially negative climate change, to remind them, I am going to meet God. I am going to meet God. And the storm that is supposedly coming this afternoon and may last until Tuesday is a reminder of that fact. Because what will that storm do? It will change things. What's the ultimate change, friends? Leaving this world to meet God. Do you use God's climate changes to remind you that I'm going to meet God? Because I've read and listened to more people exposing the data twisting of those pushing their political climate change agenda mantra rather than facing what every change in the climate should be a reminder of, that you and I live in an ever-changing world and we indwell ever-changing bodies, but all these changing events can be used, even should be used, to remind you of the truth that you're going to meet God. Especially negative climate change that could usher you into His holy presence. Because friends, I don't know, but how many in the storm over the next 2 days are going to be ushered into eternity through it? Because the Lord could use the next climate change event He brings to strike where you live and use it to take you or someone else out of this ever-changing world. Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Friends, let's be honest. It's the first shoveling of snow this season. I got to get my pusher down. I'll love it. But oh, how many? You've heard of events. You may hear it. I have no crystal ball in the future, but friends, there have been those, the first snowstorm of the season. They haven't exercised all summer. They haven't exercised all fall. They got to get that car out because they can't be late for work. And they have a coronary. Climate change has taken them into eternity in the sovereignty of God. Would you be ready to meet God the only way possible through personal repentance and faith in the only Savior of sinners? And yet how many have denied and rejected that He's sovereign over all the weather? And is saying something to all mankind in the negative, destructive weather events He brings into their lives. Because what did Jesus warn about in Luke 17, 26 and 27? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. How many are right now at Market Basket making sure they've got an extra gallon of milk in the fridge? And yet that storm could take them into eternity. Friends, the negative climate changes God sovereignly brings into this world today are a testimony to His long-suffering with this Christ-denying and rejecting world, because not a single one of them can compare to the negative climate change that He struck the world with in Noah's day. But how many were willing to listen to Noah? And how many or how few today are willing to listen to what the Lord is saying through Amos? I bring negative weather events into this world to remind mankind that there is one certainty. You are going to meet God. Friends, that is what every negative climate change event should be reminding people. Prepare to meet God. You are going to meet God. I'm going to meet God. Yet, as I have said, how many will use such things as negative climate events to doubt and even deny the very existence of God? What folly! What blindness! Why? Because, as I said, God has no problem in repeatedly declaring that He is sovereign over all weather, including snowstorms and hurricanes, giving you a reason for them. Prepare to meet thy God. What real fools are atheists and agnostics? What real fools are atheists and agnostics using the very thing that God is using to tell you, prepare to meet me, to deny His very existence? How can you believe in a good God when there are storms and tornadoes and hurricanes? See, haven't you ever heard that objection? What does the Lord say? Does He say, well, you know, there are things beyond my control? No. He's sovereign over every climate change event. Prepare to meet me. Friends, the Lord God is the source of all climate changes, including negative climate changes, as He declares through Amos. But friends, don't just end with the truth that the living, true, and only God is sovereign over all climate change, including all negative climate changes. But hear what the Lord is telling you through Amos as to why He sovereignly subjects this world of dying men to negative climate change. Simply put, I've already mentioned it, because you're going to meet Him. You are going to meet God. Friends, I have often used the expression, the elephant in the room, referring to death. But the reason why God is the source of all climate change, dare I say, is the Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room that only true believers are able to and willing to face is the reason for negative climate change. You are going to meet God. And if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ through God's sovereign gift of repentance and faith, the ongoing presence of this Tyrannosaurus Rex, negative climate changes, reminding you that you're going to meet God, is not a problem for true believers in Christ. Because that event will take you into His presence. And you'll see Him as He is. Because friends, what if God decreed that one of His negative climate changes took you out of this world? Where would you end up, believer? Where would you end up? In the presence of your Savior. In the presence of your Lord. For to be absent from the body due to a hurricane or a tornado or a blizzard is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, even if He uses His stormy wind to take them into His presence. What a testimony to the truth that unbelief reigns in America. That unbelief reigns in the world and in the hearts of how many who profess to be believers in Christ. Because of all the endless debate and disagreement over the Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room, climate change. But how many tell themselves and believe that climate change is God reminding them that they will meet Him? Does it remind you of this truth? I don't care who you are listening to me today, or who may yet listen to me through sermon audio. I don't care if you're the youngest listener or the oldest. I don't care if you're male or female, or deceiving yourself and being deceived by the too many to name mythical genders in society today. I don't care if you are the richest person listening to me or the poorest. I don't care if you could beat me at every sport there is or none of them. I don't care if you are one of the most powerful and successful people in the world or living under a bridge with a cardboard shipping container as your home. I don't care what your natural ethnicity is or the color of your skin, because all of these together and any others I have not mentioned cannot change the truth that the Lord is declaring through Amos this word to the world of dying men. You are going to meet Him! Are you hearing Him and responding in the only sane response there is to this truth? Not by denying it. Not by saying there are many roads to God. Not by saying everyone will eventually be saved. But by fleeing. By fleeing to the only Savior of dying sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all climate changes, including the negative ones, are in His hands. For who is the only one shown in Revelation who could and did open the seals of human history? The Lord Jesus Christ. The last 2,000 years of human history have been in the Lord Jesus Christ's sovereign hands. How many storms? How many hurricanes? He holds the keys of death and of hell. And climate change, especially negative climate change, is the Lord's daily, even hour by hour, reminder that at some point in time, you are going to meet God. And He could, as He has in the past and is doing somewhere at this very moment, and most definitely could in the future, use His climate change to take you into His holy presence. The sovereign Lord will use His climate change as the means, as the tool, to take an elect sinner or a reprobate sinner out of this world and into His holy presence in heaven or hell. If the Lord has decreed that the next negative climate change event was the one He has decreed to use to take you out of this ever-changing world, where would you find yourself forever? In heaven or hell? Climate change is God telling you, prepare to meet Me. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet Him the only way possible? Through personal repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Philippian jailer was confronted with how easy it was and is for the Lord to shake his earth, what did he ask Paul? What must I do to be saved? And what was Paul's answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May the next negative climate change event be something you use to ask yourself, am I prepared to meet the Lord? What if He was to use the next climate change event to take me out of this dying world? Where would His climate change take me forever? The Lord has told you why He brings climate change into this world. Prepare to meet Me. Are you prepared through saving faith in Christ alone? Blessed are all those who are. Are you blessed today? Let us pray. Oh Lord, the clarity of Your word causes us to tremble, because You are not only the God who is not ashamed to declare that the weather we receive, whether it is a day we can say what a beautiful day it is, or it's a day we can say, oh, what damage is going to be done in this storm. Every single one of them is under Your sovereign control. We bow before You. We confess having failed to see the reason why You remind us of Your power and Your majesty and Your sovereignty in the storms You bring. In our ignorance, we are awed by them. But I've never stopped and asked, why do You bring them? Prepare to meet thy God. You are reminding this world that You are the God who does not take sin lightly, but will judge a world of men in rebellion against You, reminding us daily that there is no peace for the wicked. But we thank you, O Lord, for the hope we have in your Son. If we confess him in this place, that we can be awed by your storms, and yes, Lord, may we be reminded by them what they are telling us, that you could use the next storm to take us out of this world. May that not fill us with fear, but fill us with wonder, that you can use whatever you choose to take your bride into your presence. Help us to know that blessing, even today, in Jesus' name, amen.